The reading today is from Genesis 11, 1-9. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the towers that the men were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
And John, and now we're going to hear from Jeremy now, who's going to be sharing with us from the Word.
Thank you so much. Well, it's a wonderful, Genesis is one of my favorite books, and it's just fitted perfectly that I can continue where you guys are in working through Genesis. Genesis 11 is just this incredible moment where we get to see an amazing event where God just scatters people and creates this confusion through language. Thank you so much for the reading. I have my little beam here, so I can. I was going to do the reading, and I've had the reading done for me, so that's wonderful. I'm going to just quickly show you a photo of my lovely family. Sorry that I'm boasting, but I guess that's part of a dad. I have three wonderful kids, 14, 16, and 18. That's Hannah, my wife Marlene, Abigail in the middle, and then Nathan on the end. And that was Abigail's prom dance day just last week. She's just finishing high school. So it was a wonderful occasion for us. And what's next? Right. So just a bit of introduction. What I love about the theme this morning in Genesis 11, it's all about the confusion that comes through languages. And what happened is as men and women and ethnic nations and groups started forming. And so I've kind of put a subtitle there, Africa for Christ, Bringing Unity in Confusion. And just a bit of an introduction to Africa for Christ. Firstly, Africa is very well known for being a place of massive confusion, right? Often that's an adjective you would put next to the continent of Africa. And that confusion is economic, it's spiritual, it's social, political. It's a massive confusion in the continent on all fronts. It's 54 countries in Africa and more than 1,500 languages. So when God did this in Genesis 11, he did a pretty good job of creating a multitude of languages. And it's a very complex situation. Africa for Christ right now is 25 years old. And as I mentioned, Terry and then Andrew have been building it on. We've got approximately 80 church planters currently in Africa for Christ. 40 of them are in South Africa, spread right across the country. We've got about 40 church planters. And then in 40 are in five other countries. We've got several in Ghana, Malawi, Zambia, Tanzania, and a few in Zimbabwe. So we've got a footprint, certainly not across the whole of Africa. That would be way too large. But we've got a significant imprint in South Africa and then in these other five countries, and hopefully looking to expand as we grow. Our main modus operandi in Africa for Christ is to give financial assistance to these church planters, to get them well trained, and then to provide some mentorship over a period of 5 years that they're with us. So we support them usually on a descending scale where they'll start with us at a certain level, and then as their church plant is building, we're mentoring them and tithing's happening and they're starting to see some funding. And so over 5 years, it's a decreasing amount that we're sponsoring them with the hope that after 5 years, they can then be independently self-sufficient and self-sustaining. That doesn't always happen, but that is the goal, that's the plan, that's the hope when we begin with different people. We just recently had our annual conference in September. It was a fantastic time where we had all 40 of our church planters come together and we spent a whole week of worship, input, reflections, evaluations, and just a lot of back and forth with them together. It was a tremendous time and a wonderful conference. I've now got a really amazing leadership team with me in Africa for Christ. I'm not the only person making decisions or coordinating and mentoring people. So we've got at least five key guys. There's one missing in the photo there, but these are four of the main leaders. The guy right next to me that I'm kind of holding is Alec from Malawi. The other three are from South Africa. They're coordinators within South Africa. But Alec, who's right next to me there, is from Malawi. And we're so excited about our partnership with him. He has got a little organization called Peace Ministries in Malawi. They've got 60 church planters and 90 churches that they've planted. And so we've started this partnership because financially they are pretty much bankrupt. They have very, very little finances, but they've seen great fruit. So they're seeing incredible fruit with almost nothing. And we're able to come in and say, okay, we're going to partner with you and help some of your church planters to go into new areas. And what we're most excited about is, if you know anything about Malawi, they've got a significant Muslim tribe within Malawi along the lake shores. And it's called the Yao people, and they're all Muslims. And Alec has got such a burden to go and send church planters into these Muslim communities. But the finance is not there. So we're going to start this coming year with four church planters going into these Muslim communities and starting a new, fresh outreach to them from his ministry and in partnership with us. So we're very excited about Malawi and our partnership going forward with them. I want to get on to our passage this morning now and focus a little bit more on that. And as I mentioned, it seems like the key word here was God said, look, if we leave these guys alone, they're going to do all this stuff, building a city and creating a name for themselves and trying to reach up to heaven. And so let's create confusion, right? So confusion was one of the key words that came in here. And I was thinking back and I was saying, okay, so what's so bad about us stopping in one place and building a city? Is that bad? God, why were you frustrated by this? And then I went back to Genesis 1, verse 28. In Genesis 1, 28, God says to man, once he's created him and woman in his image, he says, now go out and subdue just one small place on earth. Is that what he said? He says, go out and subdue the whole earth. So God's original plan for man was to go and fill the whole earth. Go out and subdue it. Go out and care for it. Go out and rule it. And the other key thing he was mentioning is your rulership, your servanthood, your care is on this earth. Don't worry about trying to get to heaven. And just as we are, right, we are so classic. When my mom used to say, look, you must go and sit over there, I would try and sit over there. It's the human nature. It's the fallen, sinful nature. So God says, spread out and subdue the earth. Yeah, man decides, no, we're going to settle together and we're going to try and reach heaven. The very opposite of what God's intention was. So God says, look, I'm going to confuse them, and that's going to result in their scattering. But of course, confusion has had many terrible consequences. One, and being from South Africa, this is a very strong theme in my life, where I've recognized that inherent in each one of us, as part of the sinful nature that we have, is a very powerful prejudice towards your own race or your own ethnicity. What I mean by that is, I've been so surprised and shocked through life as I've realized that people seem to be born with this attitude that if someone speaks like me and looks like me, I will treat them well. But if they don't, they are my enemy. And even although I don't know them, I will hate them. It's quite unbelievable. And I think it's not spoken about a lot, but I think it's one of those most powerful sinful traits that are built into our very existence from birth. And we often mention other sins that we are tied into as a result of the sinful nature. But this is one of the most powerful ones, and it has a terrible consequence. It's the result of that, of this confusion of people all being different languages and nations and race, has been chronic racism, strife, wars, and the most terrible exploitation of human beings. I was in the Jersey war tunnels yesterday. And I was just reading now, I love the Second World War and all the history of that. And I remember Hitler's absolute hatred of the Russians and of communism. He had an absolute hatred of them. And so reading in the Jersey tunnels yesterday, the Russians who were brought here were treated worse than animals. If you were Spanish or you were, Portuguese, it was okay. Those guys had quite a nice time. But the Russians were absolutely terribly treated just because of their language and their ethnicity. And as proof of what I'm trying to say today. So Acts 10 is one of my favorite passages on this subject. And I'm going to take a short diversion into that because it's one of those most incredible passages. And you will have to please open your Bibles, because what I'm going to tell you now, you are not going to believe unless you see it for yourself in Acts 10, verse 34. Let me shoot over there as well. Acts 10, 34. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background, because some of you may not know who Peter is. Peter is one of the main disciples of Jesus Christ. He spent 3 years of chronic and intense discipleship by our Lord Jesus. And Jesus showed him many of the great things about the kingdom of God. This is now after Pentecost, after he's received the Holy Spirit, after he spent time with Jesus. Now Jesus has been resurrected. Peter's into ministry now, and he's ministering to the Jews. And then he has this weird dream about this tablecloth coming down. But it has all the kinds of foods that Jews are not allowed to eat. But the angel in the dream says, you can eat it. And then he doesn't know what to do with that. Cut a long story short, he wakes up. Someone knocks at the door and says, please, can you come? This man Cornelius needs to see you. And so Peter goes to Cornelius' house. And when he gets there, he's hesitant to go in because they're not Jews, you see. And so it's not right for him to go in. But in the end, he goes in and they respond well to his message, and he's just so glad. But then he says these incredible words, right? And he says in verse 34, then Peter began to speak, and he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. When did Peter understand that it's not your language or your ethnicity or your race that defines whether you get the favor of God or not? When did Peter get that realization? Now, he says. That is incredible. And what I'm going to try and say about that is it also means that some of you might have been 30 years in the church. You might have done Bible college. You might have done 15 degrees in theology. But you will still have this unbelievable idea that God's favor rests on your nation and your race, and on others, God has no plan. And Peter is only an example. He's the most incredible example of how easy it is for this darkness of our heart concerning language and ethnicity can totally be hidden, and we're never aware of it sitting deep down there within us. And I just love that passage to see Peter finally becoming free of the sin. So, as I've traveled the world, I've had some fascinating experiences on this note. I'll never forget coming across the English Channel a few years ago, and I was with some English guys, and they were a little bit drunk, and the adjectives that they were using about the French are hardly to be repeated here. But I was astounded, you know, at the hatred of the French people. And I know the French feel the same about the English. But it's not only them. You're all aware of the Hutu and the Tutsi people in Rwanda, and how both of them have lived together for centuries. They're both black. They both have the same roots, but they speak a different language. And so when the moment arose, they killed each other by the million, simply because of a language difference. And the same when I was in Uzbekistan. I was telling you we were there. I was there 13 years. And over the border, Andrew was serving in Kazakhstan. But if you try to get a Kazakh and an Uzbek, they spoke the same, they were from the same heritage. They were both Muslims. They ate the same food. They looked the same. Everything about them was the same. But they hated each other. There was an absolute passion. And it blew our minds. And so, South Africa, you know about the Zulu and the Afrikaner. These are all examples, my friends, of all over the world where this confusion, Satan has trumped. He's just taken this confusion and made it as bad as he possibly can. That when people have different ethnicities and languages, there's this chronic hatred. And so the one and only place, the one and only solution to bringing things back together, and this is what God, his initial intention was that we fill the earth, and though there was this confusion of languages, we see in Jesus Christ, again, his plan to bring it all back together again. His plan to bring back unity, to bring back love, to bring back a total commitment to people across the lines of language and ethnicity. And the Great Commission is well known by all of you, and it's central to the Africa for Christ mission. But there, Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And there again, yeah, we see God finally bringing back from Genesis 11. This is the moment where he's now saying, Guys, you all out there and you all in different nations and races. But in me, in the gospel, in the beauty of my kingdom, it's all going to come back together again. It's all going to find a perfect unity and an overlap. And so you see Jesus talking about all this, all nations are going to become one again only in one way. And that is as disciples of Jesus. We will only find unity again at the foot of the cross, walking with Jesus. Revelation 7 verse 9, Drew referred to it this morning. But there again, reinforces what Jesus was saying, where we see this picture in heaven. It's one of the most magnificent passages of all scripture. And I want to just say this. There's not much in scripture that tells us exactly what heaven's going to be like. There's not too much. But there's one very specific, right down to the finest detail, description of what heaven's going to be like. And it's Revelation 7 verse 9. It's the only time we are given an absolute microscopic detailed description of what heaven's going to be like. And this is it. There's going to be people from every language, every nation, every tribe, and every country worshiping the Lamb and God who's sitting on the throne. That's the one thing we can be absolutely sure about heaven. And if you look out, you will find all 1,500 languages of Africa. When you're in heaven one day, you'll be able to go around and find somebody from each one of those languages. And that's the beauty. And it's God again affirming that, yes, I created confusion to get you guys spread out, but I'm bringing you back again. I am going to see you all united again. I am going to see people from all of these places back in my kingdom. God reconciles all people again through the cross. I've already said that point. So as a finish, I want to just encourage you guys. Join God in His mission. Make sure that, number one, make sure that your heart is clean, has been washed of ethnic or racist thoughts or feelings or desires or whatever it is. Be sure if you are still stuck in this, make a confession before the Lord. But secondly, join Him in His mission to, from this confusion, this great confusion, to bring unity again. To bring people again together in a one and at the cross and under Christ. I want to thank you incredibly as a church. For your many years, I forgot to ask Drew, but he's also new here. I don't know how many years it has been that you guys have actually partnered with Terry and Africa for Christ. I know it's been many years. And I want to just thank you as a congregation again on behalf of Africa for Christ that you have joined God in His mission. You sitting here in Jersey, you could so easily be doing all your own things, but you have sacrificially given to ensure that people across the face of the earth in Africa, in a place some of you will never get to, are actually hearing, meeting Christ, being discipled, and becoming part of a church. And for that, we are very, very thankful. Thank you for your financial sacrifice. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you that some of you have even come on a visit to South Africa. And we'd love to Africa. And we'd love to invite you, Drew, and invite a team of you to come out, maybe join us for our conference, come out and join us in Malawi and go and see some guys, but it's an open invitation for you guys to come and even just see what God is doing there. But we want to give thanks. We also want to, I have mentioned that we've got a new passion. We have, up to now, Africa for Christ in its 25 years has focused mainly on tribal, animistic African areas. But we are saying now that there's a chronic need in the whole band of Muslim areas of Africa to go in there now and start to penetrate those dark places. Because there's hundreds of languages in the Muslim areas, and there's not one known believer in those communities. So we're wanting to start to penetrate those, and we're excited about that. Don't tire of doing good and joining God in His mission. Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank You so much. Lord Jesus, I confess this morning one of the great things I love about You, Jesus, is that Your love has no boundaries. There is every tiny island on this earth, every furthest forest, every highest mountain, every village across this earth. You know the people, You know every human being, and You love them. You're passionate about them. You long to be in their lives. You long to come and change them. And Jesus, that's just an beautiful, incredible thing about You. And I thank You this morning that we've been able to just glorify Your name as a church together. I thank You for Jersey Baptist Church, and I want to pray Your blessing, Lord, on them. I want to pray Your blessing on their plans to have greater youth work, on their plans to grow, on their plans to influence the island of Jersey for Your kingdom, for Your glory. And I also want to thank You, Lord, for their faithfulness in being willing to sacrificially give beyond only theirs and their surroundings and be a blessing to the furthest ends of the earth. I pray that You will bless them and make Your face to shine upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Jeremy, for your word, and thank you for the invitation as well. I think I'll definitely take you up on that. This morning